Chapter 80. Feder Kuchin stared out the window of his hotel room into the wash of streetlights. He was dissecting the city in his mind. Washington, D.C. was separated into four quadrants. The sector tourists were most familiar with was Northwest D.C., where most of the major monuments and the White House were located. This area was relatively safe. Yet there were narrow but consistent pockets of violence throughout the rest of the city. He had learned that 3% of the zip codes here accounted for over 70% of the violent crime. Much of it was drug and gang-related, and kept the police chief deploying more and more resources in those areas. Kuchin sat back down and studied his map of the city, breaking it down as he had in other battles. D.C. had a fairly large footprint, but was certainly not the most populous metropolis in the country. Still, nearly 600,000 people called it home, and far more than that commuted into the city every day from the suburbs. He did not think Katie James would be staying in any of the high-crime sections, so that somewhat limited his search. In the business district were mostly hotels. To stay there, she would need to use a credit card, so he could reasonably rule that out. Around the U.S. Capitol building, where the four quadrants converged, were residential neighborhoods, where she conceivably might be staying. There were also high-dollar areas in Georgetown to the west, and up along Massachusetts Avenue, or Embassy Row as it was known, and on Connecticut Avenue and 16th Street, heading toward the Maryland state line. He had a finite amount of manpower with him, and did not intend on deploying it inefficiently. He was staying at the Hay Adams Hotel on the back side of Lafayette Park, which was across Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House. He was here with six men, including Pascal, to conduct his hunt for the elusive journalist. And that was the key for him. She was a journalist. What did journalists do? They traveled, wrote stories, interviewed people, and checked in with their employers from time to time. The problem was, it seemed that James was not currently employed. He stared down at his list. Still, she might be working at some point. If so, there were a few possibilities. The Washington Post was the city's best-known newspaper. James had worked for them years ago, and had since done freelance jobs for them, though not for several years. Its offices were on 15th Street Northwest. Kuchin had a man posted there with a picture of James. Another man was watching the bureau offices of the New York Tribune, which was two blocks over from the Post. James had won two Pulitzers while at the Trib, but Kuchin had learned that the reporter and the paper had had a falling out. Still, it was a base he had to cover. The New York Times had its bureau headquarters at First Street, also in the Northwest Quadrant. CNN, while not a print publication, was also located on First Street, but in Northeast. Both the Times and CNN were inside of the Capitol. According to her file, James had also worked for the Times and had done both on- and off-camera reporting for CNN during the first years of the Afghan War. There were many other news organizations in the city, but these, at least in Kuchin's mind, were the most likely to attract the attention of a journalist with the hefty reputation of Katie James.